I'm just calling, making a Skype call. I'm going to call Ronan Tynan in order to talk to him about the film, the documentary film. So let me just see if I can call him up here now, and try to get through to him. I'm trying to find my way on Skype here. The complication is that we've only just really connected with each other. So I'm going to pause.
Hello?
Hello, is that Ronan Tynan?
Paul, how are you?
Ronan, I'm ringing you that because this morning you're going to be launching a new documentary film in the Lighthouse Cinema. And I want to actually speak to one of the people behind the film. Are you one of those people? Well, look, this film, all the people on this listening to this won't have a clue what this film's about unless they listen to my earlier audio boo. So can you tell us about the film, please?
Well, Mothers Against the Odds was an attempt to cast a light on what we, just thinking about it, would describe as an almost unrecognised human rights scandal, the way many women and girls who seek to give birth are treated. In fact, it's hard to believe that the process of childbirth can be an area or a process that you could say, and I hate using technical type language like human rights violations, but it's the only way to describe it really, because we witnessed a level of cruelty and degrading treatment that I personally was quite shocked. Now, I know Anne had done a lot of research before we started the project as well, and in fact I was involved in the research myself, but it certainly was an eye-opener, because we compared the experience in Kenya today with Ireland in former decades. And as you can probably imagine, we expected to perhaps find things a little harsher in Kenya than we did in Ireland. But let's just say our expectations were seriously upended.
What? You mean you actually went out to Kenya, made a film of what was happening in Kenya, and then made a film about what was happening in Ireland and expected Ireland, as I would, to be in an awful lot better?
Safest places in the world to have a child. I mean, the chances of a woman dying giving birth is probably about 48,000 to 1, whereas in Kenya it's about 25 to 1. However, in former decades, some mothers did have rather horrific experiences when they were subjected to an operation called a synphysiotomy, which one leading obstetrician described as from the Dark Ages.
Well, look,
it was really quite horrific for me, I have to tell you, because we were quite way through the project when we stumbled upon what is called the symphysiotomy scandal. It's an operation that, even to describe it, it sounds like a form of torture where the woman's pelvis is fractured to facilitate childbirth. Now, it's quite a horrific procedure because it's carried out under local anaesthetic rather than a full anaesthetic. So, as you can imagine, having any bone broken would be a horrific experience, but at a traumatic time about to give birth, it's probably about as big a nightmare as any human being could possibly endure. And certainly listening to the testimonies of the women, many of them are in their 70s, 80s and 90s now, as this practice only stopped finally in Ireland, I think in the early 80s, was quite, it was unexpected and very, very surprising.
And did you, you're not telling me that you actually spoke to people who'd had this done to them, are you?
Oh, absolutely, and we filmed them as well, and they're included in the documentary. And it was quite remarkable to have these horrific testimonies from Irish women compared with its experience of Kenyan women today. Because we tend to look at Kenya, and in fairness, Kenya is growing, and there's a vibrant movement seeking to advance women's rights in that country, so I don't want anybody to get the impression that things are grim there, because people are seeking to improve things. But obviously, they are in a process of development that we've already gone through. So naturally, one might expect that it's a more conservative, traditional society in many areas. And that certainly is more of what we found. But as I say, we were taken aback to have to listen to those testimonies in Ireland that you would have imagined would be something from, quite frankly, the Dark Ages, rather than recent decades.
Ronan, the impression I'm getting, and you know how little about the story of this that I really know, but the impression I'm getting is that you and Anne Daly set out to go to make a film about how women are being treated or how they're getting on in Kenya. And then you came back to Ireland and you got the shock that some awful things had happened in Ireland. Is that correct?
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, it sounds a bit almost... Well, I suppose it does sound a little unbelievable. But that's exactly the way it happened. And in fact, it was true. Because really, you couldn't compare, given the level of development Ireland is at, in the sense that we have... our medical services have advanced, and considerable amounts have been invested in them over the last... number of decades, whereas in Kenya they haven't had those resources deployed in the public health system, so naturally they would be a bit behind us in one sense. But clearly we didn't even, one of the most ironic things was describing the idea of symphysiotomy to people whom we had met in Kenya on our previous visit after we discovered this, and they were also quite taken aback that people would perform such an operation in Ireland. Because the original practice was developed as an emergency procedure. Well, sorry, I shouldn't say developed for that purpose, but it tends to be used professionally in extreme emergencies where, for example, access would not be available to an operating theatre or to a clinically safe environment. But even then, we'd question the advisability given the testimonies we've heard, but we're not medical experts, and that's a debate that medical experts have to have. But the idea that medical people in the Western world will be trying to export this concept to the developing world, you find quite shocking, in the sense that you do need quite a lot of support even to carry that out, given the terrible experiences Irish women have had. And it was one of the most disturbing things I found when we came back, was actually just going online, Googling online, and one of the first things I came up with, which really took me aback, was a gynecologist in a European country had written a paper urging Africans to adopt symphysiotomy as a regular operation, and remarking how the Africans rejected the idea and told her that you wouldn't perform that in Europe, and why should you seek to perform it here? And I found that very reassuring, and confirmed our worst conclusions, if you like, about the practice that we uncovered through this documentary. Now, in fairness, others have exposed the symphysiotomy scandal before us, but I suppose our take on it was that we compared that development, if you like, with how things are in Kenya today. And I suppose we did come up with an answer, which is not a very elegant answer, I suppose, in a way, but it's very simple, really. Women's rights, or the level of respect women are held in a society, will directly affect their health. In the sense, it would be unthinkable for anyone to attempt to perform a performing her of what the operation involves, and most importantly, without securing her consent, which apparently did not happen, given the testimonies we obtained and filmed in the documentary.
Hey, Ronan, let me come back to you. You said something a few minutes ago that really took me aback, because here was I thinking that this was male gynecologists who were doing these things to women who basically thought they were doing the right thing. What were they doing? Breaking their pelvis or smashing their pelvis open. And then you tell me that it was a woman gynecologist who was actually from a European country trying to bring this into Africa. How on earth can a female, a woman gynecologist, be in favour of symphysiotomy? I can hardly say the word.
Well, your level of incomprehension there matches my own. I just do not understand that. I just wonder, has she interviewed women after they have had symphysiotomies performed? And to be honest with you, we hope to interview her shortly about that again, because we're not letting go of this subject because it has opened up more questions than it's answered for us.
Look, is it legal? Let's get this out on the table. Is it actually legal to do a symphysiotomy or whatever you call it on a woman, break her pelvis? Is that allowed legally? Can a gynecologist do that?
Hear about this? You know, we uncovered hard evidence whereby two leading institutions in the UK are, shall we say, working to educate Nigerians about how to perform this operation. You see, in certain circles, it is accepted as an emergency procedure. But our worry is the way this is being advanced, you would imagine some people think it should be carried on a regular basis. The reason it appears it was reintroduced in Ireland in the 1940s was because cesarean sections basically set a limit to the number of children a woman could have. And in Ireland at the time, the church had a view that women should, and the Archbishop of Dublin, John Charles McQuaid, described birth control as an abomination, for words to that effect. So,
now, we must clarify that this is the Roman Catholic Church, where when you use the word that church, that's what you mean, is it?
But I think it's important, I suppose, to bear in mind that, same physiotomies, though, while some people might want to have seen them develop as a widely used operation in hospitals, they certainly never became routine, and they were performed in a minority of cases. But obviously, if you meet the women involved, now they still don't know really how many were performed, because women are still coming forward in their 80s and 90s who had this operation performed. And we found one woman who only discovered 2 years ago that it was performed on her. She thought they had performed a cesarean section on her. So, it's an unresolved part of our history that is people are finding it hard to come to terms with, that such a thing could happen in Irish maternity hospitals. But one of the most remarkable things for me during the process, and again, I have to say this ironically, because we're very cynical about politicians at the moment, there was remarkable unanimity, well, unsurprising, I suppose, given the terrible nature of what was done to these women, of unanimity in the Dáil when it was debated in March of this year. And that was kind of heartening to see that, because all the women attended that debate as well in the public gallery, and that's something we also featured, and they were quite heartened by it as well. So it was quite interesting. In fact, it was one of the few times that the only time I've been moved in the Dáil observing a debate in terms of the reaction of the women, because, you could imagine having to live with the consequences of a broken pelvis for over 30 years, which made ordinary family life impossible.
Ronan, sorry, I have absolutely no idea what it would be like to have a broken pelvis for 30 years. I cannot imagine it, I'm afraid.
Like that, because I can't either. And really, that's the level of pain and cruelty that was inflicted on these women. And it really is disturbing. And certainly, it was difficult to film that. They were very moving interviews. I think Anne Daly did a great job on that as well, because it's very, very difficult. Very difficult.
Who's Anne Daly?
Daly is, for want of a better expression, is a multi award winning journalist and filmmaker, and began her career incidentally in Cork, in RT in Cork, a number of years ago. And we formed Esperanza about 15 years ago, and have made a series of documentaries, most of them, many of them touching on the developing world, from East Timor, Rwanda, and in different parts of Africa and Asia. And this type of theme has been very consistent. But lately we've tried to compare the experience of the so-called developed world with the developing world. And certainly, as we saw in this recent case, in this recent documentary, Mothers Against the Odds, it just shows we have common experiences, and we're in no position to lecture our fellow citizens in the southern part of the planet.
Ronan, look, this film, Mothers Against the Odds, first of all, how long is it? How long does it last?
52 minutes.
And where can I see it? I mean, where will I be able where will I be able to view it then?
Something we are seeking to put in train at the moment. We will also be making it available on DVD, but if anybody's interested, they just need to go to esperanzaproductions.com, and they can we'll be providing more details how the DVD can be acquired shortly. But as I say, we are hoping to have a broadcast in Ireland and other parts of the world. In fact, I want to tell you this, we are very determined actually to ensure, however we do it, that as many people as possible see this documentary, because we genuinely believe that more any contribution anyone can make to draw attention to the scandalous way the way mothers are treated today really is a valuable contribution in simply reducing real pain. It's difficult. Different so-called descriptions of human rights abuses talk about torture and all that sort, but we're talking here about real oppression, and it's certainly startling for me to think about the idea of childbirth as a major source of oppression, you know. But having looked and listened to the experiences of many women, it's very clear this is one area where, you know, the right not only to a safe birth, but to security and respect during the whole process is absolutely critical. Because as we saw in Ireland, if women are treated with respect, if they're treated as second-class citizens, if they're treated as people without a voice, operations will be done to them without their permission, and they will have to live with the consequences for the rest of their lives. So really, I suppose in that sense, anybody who does anything to cast a light on that kind of oppression, you know, can make some kind of difference. And hopefully this film may make some kind of small contribution.
Ronan, look, there are people listening to this who will be saying to themselves, is this film going to be exhibited or entered into documentary film competitions around the world? Are you going to get a distributor in Los Angeles? I know there are people listening to this in Los Angeles and Vancouver and Sydney and the Philippines. So I want you to, you know, how are you guys pushing this film out so that other people will be able to hear it or see it?
We are in the process of putting measures in place to seek to do exactly what you describe, and hopefully everybody listening will have a chance to see it shortly. As I say, we only have a short promo up on EsperanzaProductions.com at the moment, but as I say, hopefully everybody will get a chance to see it as it is distributed, and it's something we're working very hard on at the moment.
Ronan, I intended to have 5 minutes with you so you could introduce the film, and we've spent 16 minutes, and I don't feel we've done anything other than scratch the surface of the film. But give people your very last message, the message that you want to get out when you're launching this film this morning in Dublin.
Summarize everything I've said into a single sentence, but I think ultimately, you know, it is about trying to ensure that when it comes to childbirth, women are treated with respect, and their rights in particular are respected, and that we really recognize that in many parts of the world that is not happening at the moment, and it is causing real physical pain and a level of oppression that's hard to comprehend without meeting the women involved. And I suppose in that context, a film is a useful way of communicating that experience, or as you'd say yourself, scratching the surface in that regard. So thanks very much for this opportunity to talk about it, Paul.
Well, Ronan Tynan from Esperanzo Productions, documentary filmmakers, you and Anne Daly are launching this morning, and I hope that Miriam, what's her name? Who's launching it with you?
Oh yeah, sorry, Marion Finucane.
Marion Finucane. I hope Marion Finucane will do a great job, and I'm sure she will with you.
Great stuff. Thanks again, Paul.
Okay, all the best. Good luck this morning. Thanks for your time. Bye, Roman. He's gone. He's gone. He's in too much of a hurry to pick up the phone. Right. He's obviously rushing me. I didn't expect it to last that long. Okay, right. Better rush myself.